I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and on behalf of the session members, I'd like to greet all of you a very, very happy and blessed Lunar New Year. Now, this is, of course, the year of the tiger. Now, so this being the year of the tiger, I want to talk about cats this morning. Now, we know that domesticated cats, wild cats, small cats, and big cats, right? Now, how many big cats are there? You want to make a guess? There are four big cats, actually. Okay? There are the tiger, the lion, the leopard, and the jaguar. These are four big cats. Now, I didn't just dream this up. I looked into the net, and this was what I found. Four big cats. Now, why are they referred to as big cats? You want to guess? All right, they are known as big cats because they roar. Apparently, all the other cats do not roar. Only these four big cats, lion, tiger, leopard, jaguar, they roar. And which is the biggest cat? Lion, tiger. Lion, right? I used to think so also. For years, I always thought that the lion, being the king of the beast, must be the greatest cat. But it is not the biggest cat. The biggest cat is the tiger. Yes, the male tigers are known to weigh something like 300 kilograms. And male lions, the huge ones, are known to weigh something like 250 kilograms. All right, so the male tiger is the biggest cat. Now, the tiger is also known as an apex predator. Actually, the net is very good. You go in, you click tiger, you find everything about tigers. So, the tiger is an apex predator. Now, what is meant by an apex predator? Now, what it means is that the tiger is at the top of the food chain. In other words, the tiger never gets hunted. It hunts. It hunts others. It is at the top of the food chain. That is why it is called the apex predator. And I suppose that's why the inventors of the Chinese zodiac reckon that those born in the year of the tiger are natural born leaders. Like the tiger, they are apex predators. Now, I look into the net and I look at the characteristics of those born in the year of the tiger according to the Chinese zodiac. And this is what it says. Those born in the year of the tiger are courageous, active and self-assured, optimistic, passionate, independent, rebellious, dynamic, unpredictable, quick-tempered but considerate, affectionate, careless. The tiger is a natural born leader. It symbolizes power, passion, daring. They are straightforward and uninhibited in nature. They are well-liked because they are charming personalities. So you say, no wonder I was born in the year of the tiger. Yeah, okay. Often failing at a given task or being unproductive in his personal or professional life can cause a tiger to experience deep depression. Tigers love to compete. They are intelligent, alert, and far-sighted. Good strategists and tacticians. They often have a hidden agenda. As long as they do not risk their luck too often and keep their restless nature under control, they will enjoy success and happiness. So says the net. So says the Chinese zodiac. So I look into a list of famous people who were supposed to have been born in the year of the tiger. I was expecting to see great leaders like President Clinton or President Obama or people of that category in that list. But I didn't find those people in the list. Now what did I find? Famous tiger people: Agatha Christie, Crystal Gayle, Sybil Shepherd, Demi Moore, Diana Rigg, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, I don't know who she is, Hilary Swank, Jodie Foster, Marilyn Monroe, Mary Queen of Scots, Norma Shearer, Penelope Cruz, Queen Elizabeth II, Rosie O'Donnell, and Tom Cruise. Yes. All right. You see, nearly all the names in the list are females, right? And only one male. So I wonder it would not have been more correct to say that this is the year of the tigress rather than the year of the tiger. Well, actually, with so many varied characteristics of the tiger listed in the zodiac, there are bound to be some characteristics that will fit those people who were born in the year of the tiger. And so it's very easy for anybody to come to this conclusion that he is born in the year of the tiger. You see, there might be 25 characteristics, and then you can identify with 7 of them. You say, no wonder. See, I was born in the year of the tiger. Now, it's the same with the characteristics of all the other animals listed in the Chinese zodiac. The characteristics are so varied, so numerous, that you actually have the option of seeing what you want to see to identify yourself with them. So you look at them and you say, I was born in the year of the rat, I was born in the year of tiger, I was born in the year of the pig, and so on and so forth, because you can actually identify with some of the characteristics at least. So what I'm saying is this: the Chinese zodiac is a false system of belief. Often the characteristics contradict one another. I give you an example. Let's look at the tiger person. The tiger person is a good strategist and a good tactician. He often has a hidden agenda. Notice the word hidden agenda. Now, this would contradict this statement. A tiger person is straightforward, you see, and uninhibited in nature. Now, how can a person be straightforward and at the same time have a hidden agenda? So the two characteristics are contradictory. The system of belief of the Chinese zodiac is a false system of belief. Now, the truth is this, and this is true. Now, whether you are born in the year of the tiger, or born in the year of the rat, or born in the year of the monkey, it makes no difference. Every one of us has some tiger in us. And it's true. The tiger is the apex predator. It naturally wants to lead, it naturally wants to control. Yes, it wants to control other animals. It hunts other animals, but it is not hunted. It likes to control. Now, like the tiger, in our sinful state, we like to control. And whom do you think we like to control? Of course, if we can control other people, we would love to do that. But whom do we like to control most of all? Ourselves, of course. We want to control ourselves. We want to put ourselves on the pedestal. We want to put ourselves on the throne in our heart. Now we would not have God to be in supreme control over us. But friends, He is our Creator. Yes, He is our Creator. And we are to worship Him. He is worthy of our worship, and we owe Him our worship. But friends, often we do not give Him the honor and the glory that are due to Him. We want to be our own boss. We do not want the Lord to rule over us, and then rebel against Him, and then choose. We rebel against Him, disobey Him, and then choose to be His enemies. And the Word of God says so in Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. I read for you. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. You were alienated, separated from the one true living God, and enemies in your own mind. You made yourself enemies of the one true living God by your wicked works. And that's what we were before we came to trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And many reject Him so completely, they say that there is no God. Yes, that's how complete the rejection is. There is no God. But let's be very clear. Man can reject Him and says all that he wants to say, yes, about God. He can say that there is no God. And he can teach that there is no God in the university or in schools, and he can declare there is no God in all kinds of communication media, such as the television, such as the internet, such as the newspaper, and so forth. But it makes no difference with regards to this truth. God exists, and this is true. God exists, and He is what He says He is. Nothing is going to change that. If you don't believe, it's not going to change that truth. Yes. Let those who reject Him and dare defiantly shake their fists against heaven and say there is no God, be warned. Yes, you know what God says? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, when God calls a person a fool, he's a fool, as we said many times before. Yes, he is a fool indeed. No matter how smart he is, he could have the IQ of Einstein. But if God calls him a fool, he's a fool. And how can a man be wise if, according to his wisdom, he rejects Christ and then he spends all eternity as a fool in hell? He's a fool indeed. So friends, this morning, if you are outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, you do not know him as your Lord and Savior, and he is not sitting on the throne in your heart, wise up this morning. Wise up. Come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Turn away from your sins. Repent from your sins. Give up the tiger that is in you. Let the Lord Jesus Christ control your lives. Let him into your life. Let him be your Lord. Let him be your Savior. And this morning, if you did that and repent from your sins and trust in his precious blood to save you, my dear friends, he will save you. And then this first day of the year of the tiger is going to be a very, very memorable day of your life, for the rest of your life. Now, I'm talking to believers now. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, there must be no tiger in us. Self must not sit on the throne, but the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must reckon this to be true, that as of the day we came to trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the old man in us, the sinful nature in us, had been crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. So that, like Paul, we may be able to say, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, if Christ lives in us, and he is ruling over us, and he should, if we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, then like the Lord Jesus Christ, every day we must be coming to the Lord and say to him, Heavenly Father, not my will, but may your will be done. Every day we must be saying that to him. And if we are in fact doing his will, I ask you whether you are doing his will or not. Now, if you are in fact doing his will, you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, there will be one, two characteristics of you, and that is, you will not want to sin. Yes, you will want to obey his commandments. Yes, every decision that you make, you want to be sure that the Lord Jesus Christ is at the center of your decision. He is at the center of your plan. Yes, we will obey his word in regards to every aspect of our life, in regards to the course of study that you are taking up, In regards to the job that you want to take up, in regards to where you ought to be living, in regards to which girl or which boy you ought to be marrying, and which hobbies that you are interested in, how you spend your time, how you relate with other people, and how you render your service unto the Lord in the church. My dear friends, all these will be very, very much affected if, in fact, Christ is ruling in you and the tiger is not ruling in you. And everything that you do, you will say, not I, but Christ must be given the honor and the glory. If the Lord is ruling in you and the tiger is not. Now, the Chinese zodiac says, tigers are good strategists and tacticians. They often have a hidden agenda. Now, is this a good characteristic? I read that for you again. Tigers are good strategists and tacticians. They often have a hidden agenda. Is this a good characteristic for believers? What do you think? Can be good, can be bad, right? Yes. So, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is very, very important, my dear friends, that we be wise. We must have strategies and we must have tactics. The Word of God says that we are to be as wise as serpents, but as gentle as doves. In other words, we must be as harmless as doves. All that we do, we must try to obey the Lord and we must be harmless. But at the same time, we must be wise as serpents. Yes. So when we do our business, when we do our studies, when we do our jobs, we must have good strategies and we must have good tactics. And not to have them, I say this to you, you are foolish if you don't have strategies and you don't have tactics. If we do not plan, if you read Dr. To's book, he will tell you this, if you do not plan, you are planning to fail. Yes, if you don't plan, you are planning to fail. And that's true. My friends, let us remember that in all our plans and in all our strategies, if there are to be good plans and good strategies, the Lord Jesus Christ must be at the center of our plans and our strategies. He must be given the preeminence. Anytime we make a decision, anytime we formulate any kind of strategy, he must be given the preeminence. And then, even before we conceive our plans, even before we conceive our strategies, we ought to come before the Lord and say, Lord, what is your will for me? Don't let us plan everything, plan our strategies, plan our tactics, and then we come before the Lord. Lord, what's your will for me? But actually, what do we want the Lord to do? We just want him to give us a rubber stamp, that's all. To give the endorsement, that's all. But that's not correct. Friends, before we put our strategies in place and tactics, let us come before him and seek his will. And all our strategies and plans and our tactics must all be in accordance to his laws. We must obey his laws. Remember, we are to be as wise as serpents and but as gentle as doves. Now, what about the characteristic of having a hidden agenda? Is it good or is it bad? How do you think? All right, this is not a trick question. All right. Now, in our relation with our friends and our colleagues, our brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must have no hidden, wicked agenda. Our yes must be yes. The Lord says, let your yea be yea, and let your nay be nay. Yes be yes, no be no. Now, there are those who join the church, but they have a hidden agenda. Some people joined the church, I knew in time past, in some other churches, they came to church because they wanted to do business in the church. They want to find people in the church to do, they wanted to find people in the church to do business with. Now, one time, a man, and he was a minister of the gospel. Yes, this minister of the gospel came into our Bible Presbyterian churches in Singapore to minister in our churches. And he befriended our Bible Presbyterian members, and in time, our members actually liked him very much. Now, what was his agenda? Actually, he had a hidden agenda. And his agenda was to actually take over one of our churches and to become a pastor in one of the churches. And he did become that pastor. But then, because we knew that he had that agenda, finally, we had to remove him. And he was removed, thankfully. Friends, let there be no hidden agenda in our relation with others, particularly with fellow members of the church, members of the household of faith. Let our dealings be pure. The word of God in Romans chapter 12 verse 9 says, let love be without dissimulation. In other words, let our love be pure. Let our love be without hypocrisy. No hidden agenda. When we say love, we really love. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Now we'll talk about the tiger. Let me go on to another big cat. This time I will talk about the lion. Now the lion is slightly smaller in size than the tiger, as we said, right? 50 kilograms lighter. We're talking about the big tigers and the big lions. Now, whether it is because of its regal appearance that it is said to be a very said to be the king of the beasts, we do not know. Or whether it is very ferocious that it is noted as the king of the beasts, we really do not know. But for sure we know that the lion is a very, very ferocious animal. And in the verse that we just memorized this morning, he is what? Likened to a... Satan is likened to a roaring lion. Yes, the roaring lion is likened to Satan, or Satan is likened to a roaring lion. And so we read in verse 8, yes, of 1 Peter chapter 5, the verse that we memorized this morning. Be sober, be vigilant, or let's say, ready to go. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us all recognize that Satan is our adversary. Adversary simply means our enemy number one. And he walks about. He walks about, meaning to say, yes. Okay, there's this car, sorry to interrupt, there's this car, Toyota VIP 05B, blocking a driveway. If that is your car, please remove it. VIP 05B, a Toyota. Thank you. Yes, sorry. All right, we say that Satan is likened to the roaring lion. He walks about seeking whom he may devour. He's our adversary, our enemy number one. And then he walks about. Now what is meant by he's walking about? Now what it means is this. He is relentless in his pursuit. He doesn't stop pursuing. Now I think we must have seen documentaries of this migrating herds of cattle in Africa. I'm sure we must have seen that. And trailing this migrating herd of cattle would be a pride of lions. Have you seen that? I've seen many of these shows, and they are quite interesting to watch. And where the herd goes, the pride of lions will follow. And the lions don't run all the time. They keep a distance. Yes, they watch, but they are always within a striking distance, waiting for a stray cattle, or waiting for one sick animal to be left behind, or waiting for one that is inattentive and which dissociates itself from the rest of the cattle or the rest of the buffaloes. And when the lions spot such an animal, straight away they will pounce. They are just waiting for their opportunity, and when they see such an opportunity, they pounce. Yes, and when they corner an animal, that animal is virtually dead. Almost impossible for that animal to escape. Friends, that is how fierce our adversary is. And our adversary, Satan, his objective is to destroy our witness, and he is relentless in doing so. Yes, he's relentless. His aim is to cause us to give up our faith and to stop believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what should we do? We have such a formidable enemy. What should we do? Now the Word of God thankfully gives us the answer. I'd like us to look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and look at verses 5 to 9. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 5 to 9. Please refer to the Bible. And our friends, please help our members of the church, please help our friends to refer to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 to 9. Verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9 says, whom? Resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So what should we do? We must resist him. To resist means to put ourselves in full battle array against him. And thankfully, we are not helpless as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. My dear friends, we have the mighty God on our side. The almighty God on our side. And did you know that this God of ours is the lion that reigns supreme? As we shall see later, he is actually known also as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, none other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself. And he is our sure defense against our adversary, the roaring lion. But how can we have him as our defense? How can we have this Lion of the tribe of Judah as our defense? First of all, we must humble ourselves under his mighty hand. That is the number one step that we must take. Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Pride is our greatest vulnerability. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, were lifted up with pride. They wanted to be like the one true living God himself. They wanted to be like him, with his power and with his knowledge. They wanted to be as powerful as he, and they wanted to be as knowledgeable as he. As a result of which they fell. Satan tempted them and they fell. Now Peter was lifted up with pride. And because he was lifted up with pride, he failed. He fell. Before the Lord was arrested, on the night the Lord was arrested, Peter boasted. Peter said, even if all my fellow disciples were to be offended, even if they were to stumble, even if they were to fall, Lord, I would not be offended because of you. And Lord, even if I have to die with you, I will die with you. You see, he was speaking out of a heart that was very proud. I will not fail. But he failed. He fell. When tempted, he fell. Three times he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul, the Apostle Paul, was quite different. All right. Paul learned how to humble himself. Paul was stricken with an affliction known as a thorn in the flesh. And three times he asked the Lord to remove this thorn in the flesh from him. It must have been a very, very serious illness or serious disability. And Paul asked the Lord to remove it from him. For three times. You see, Paul was special. Paul was caught up into the third heavens. In other words, he entered into heaven itself. And he heard words that were unspeakable. He was given special revelation. And there was always that natural inclination to be lifted up with pride because he was given this special revelation. And so God had to humble him. And in order for God to humble him, God allowed him to suffer from this affliction known as the thorn in the flesh, so that Paul could be mightily used of the Lord. My dear friends, we must humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Yes, and our humility under his mighty hand must be expressed by our humility in our relation with our fellow men. St. Augustine, that great saint, was asked this question: what are the three greatest virtues for a believer? Three greatest virtues. And he said, number one, humility. Number two, humility. Number three, humility. It's humility, humility, humility. These are the three greatest virtues. My dear friends, that is what we must do if we want to resist the evil one, if we want to have the lion of the tribe of Judah on your side. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And then the next thing we must do to have the lion of the tribe of Judah on our side is to cast all our cares upon him, for he careth for you. We must trust him because faith is the victory. I read about this pilot who was going to land his plane, but his plane got into very, very serious trouble. All his instruments were out. And then he called the control tower, and the control tower was giving him directions and instructions on how to land. And then as he was about to land, he saw a pole in front of him, and he shouted through the communication system, "I see a pole in front of me. How am I going to land?" And back came the reply from the control tower. Yes, the voices from the control tower told him, "You take care of the instructions, we'll take care of the obstructions." Yes. And so, did he trust those in the control tower? He had to. And he trusted those in the control tower, and he landed safely. Friends, casting all our cares upon him. That is the instruction given to us. And if we want to live victoriously as overcoming Christians, overcoming the evil one, that is exactly what we must do. Cast all our cares upon him. If we don't cast our cares upon him, then we worry ourselves sick, we will fret, we will complain, we will murmur. We behave as if our God is dead. And then we become easy victims of the roaring lion because we lose our witness. Now the next thing we must do to have the lion of the tribe of Judah on our side as our defense is to be sober and vigilant. Look at verse 8. Be sober, Be vigilant, because your adversary, the lion, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. We must be sober, we must be vigilant, we must watch and we must pray. The lesson of the three inner circle disciples, Peter, James, and John, in the Garden of Gethsemane with the Lord Jesus Christ, should tell us that we must watch and pray. If we don't watch and pray, we fall. Remember, the Lord brought his three inner circle disciples with him into the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter, James, and John. And he told them, pray. But what did they do? While the Lord prayed, they slept. Three times the Lord came back to them, and they slept. Three times the Lord saw them sleeping. No wonder they fell. No wonder they failed. So when the Lord was arrested that night, what happened to all of them? They fled. They failed very, very miserably. Watch and pray, lest we fall, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So if we take these three steps, number one, humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Number two, casting all our cares upon him. Number three, be watchful and be vigilant. My dear friends, we can be victorious over the evil one, the roaring lion. Now finally, I want to talk about this lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Now this refers to none other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now what we are about to read is something that is going to take place in the future. And this was seen by the Apostle John when he was on the island of Patmos. God gave him this vision. He saw a vision of the one true living God, God the Father, sitting on the throne. And then around him, around the throne, were 24 elders. And there were also four heavenly beings. And they were worshipping the one true living God. And in God's hand, there was a book. But there was no one to open the book. And because there was no one to open the book, John wept. Yes, John wept, because no one was there to open the book. And then he was very much comforted by an elder, one of the 24 elders, who told him that someone will open that book. I'd like us to turn to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, and then look at verse 5. Revelation 5, and look at verse 5. Verse 5. And one of the elders saith unto me, me here refers to John, the Apostle John, weep not, behold the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And this lamb came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Now in verse 5, we read that he was the lion of the tribe of Judah. In verse 7, he is referred to as what? Referred to as what? The lamb. The lamb of God. So the lamb of God and the lion of the tribe of Judah refer to one and the same person. Alright? Now look at verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. The lion of the tribe of Judah was, of course, a descendant of Judah, one of the sons of Jacob. Now, he is the lion of the tribe of Judah, but as we said, at the same time, he is also the Lamb of God, who was slain to redeem all believers from every kindred and tongue and people and nation. This would, of course, include all of us here who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord was slain for us. Yes, he gave his life for us. Then notice what the Apostle John saw as he recorded here. Look at verse 6. And I beheld, And lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns. Horns are representative of power, and seven is a complete number, which means that this Lamb of God had complete power. He had absolute power. He is all powerful, in other words. And then he has seven eyes. Seven, again, complete number, seven eyes. All-knowing eyes. In other words, this Lamb of God is all-powerful and he's all-knowing. He's none other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and who is, of course, the one true living God himself. And look at what the heavenly beings and the saints in heaven do before the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who is also the Lamb of God. Look at verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. What do? They fell down. They worship him. Why did they worship him? Because he's God. That's why they worship him. And only he has the power, the authority to open this special book, which contains the final revelations of the events to come in the last days. Friends, the Lion of the tribe of Judah is on our side, who are believers. And he is with us today, because he said so. Remember that? He says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He is with us today. And you know, his word gives us this very, very wonderful assurance. I'd like us to turn to 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. All right, I read for you the verse. John was writing to believers. He says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you. Who is in you? Which lion? The Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is in you. He that is in you, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And who is the he in the world? Which lion? The roaring lion. So which lion is greater? The Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he is in us. He is greater than the lion and the world. And in fact, at the cross, the Lord has already won this great victory for us. If we were to turn to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Please turn to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Look at this verse. Our Lord has won this great victory for us. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. I read that verse for you. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself, meaning Jesus, likewise took part of the same. He took part of flesh and blood. In other words, he became man, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Yes, Satan, my dear friends, has been rendered powerless, impotent by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's true. It took place on Calvary, and at Calvary on the cross. But friends, today we still read that he's a roaring lion that walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But friends, it is absolutely true that the Lord's death on the cross has freed us, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, from the stranglehold of the evil one, from the roaring lion. And every day, if we will watch and pray, the Lion of the tribe of Judah will deliver us from the power of this roaring lion. Now, let me give you this little illustration. Perhaps it will help us understand how important, how important this roaring lion is. There was this student who was studying for the ministry. He was a poor man, and so he had to work to support himself in his studies. And he took up a position as a part-time postman. One day he came to this house to deliver the letter, when this very, very ferocious big dog came charging at him. And he was completely petrified when he saw that dog. Yes. And before the dog could sink its teeth into him, it stopped short. Why? Because it was restrained by a very, very long chain. Long chain but restrained. So the dog could not bite him. So as of that day, whenever he came to that house, he was very comfortable. He knew that the dog could never attack him, so long as he stayed outside of the range of the attack. My dear friends, Satan is like that chain dog. He has been rendered impotent. He can't attack us so long as we do not fall within his range. And how do we not fall within his range? The answer is, watch and pray, my dear friends. Watch and pray. And then the other very, very important thing is this. The Word of God tells us to abstain from all appearances of evil. By so doing, my dear friends, we will fall out of his range. Now then, the most wonderful truth about this line of the tribe of Judah is given to us in verse 9. I'd like us to look at verse 9 and verse 10. A very, very wonderful truth. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Did you read the verse, last verse, verse 10? "And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." The Lion of the tribe of Judah, also the Lamb of God, has made us kings and priests. As priests, we worship the one true living God, just like the 24 elders and the four beasts, heavenly beasts in heaven, worship the Lord. But friends, he has also made us kings unto our God. And one day, my dear friends, we will rule with him. And when will we rule with him? We will rule with him when our Lord Jesus Christ returns to this earth. And when he sets up his millennial kingdom, all saints, all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, redeemed by his precious blood, will come with him to reign with him. It's going to happen. Because he says so. He has made us kings unto our God. And when he rules, you know what will happen to all the big cats who are predators today? You know what's going to happen to them? They're going to die? No, friends. I'd like us to turn to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 to 8. Now, this is going to happen when the King of Kings rules and when we rule with him. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 to 8. Now, the wolf, verse 6. "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb." The wolf is a predator. Huh? "And the leopard, also a predator, shall lie down with the kid. It will not eat up the kid." The kid is the kid of a goat or kid of a lamb. "And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And the little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. The young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den." In other words, children can play with poisonous snakes also at that time. Yes, and that's what's going to happen. There will be perfect peace in the animal kingdom also. Now my question to you this morning is this. Will you have a part in this kingdom of the Lion of the tribe of Judah? Do you? Now, if you do not have a part in his kingdom, what is going to happen is you are going down with the roaring lion into the lake of fire, where you will be tormented day and night for all eternity. You will be in his company forever and ever. Understand this truth. You can be in any, you can only be in one of the two kingdoms, either in the kingdom of the Lion of the tribe of Judah or the kingdom of the roaring lion. Which kingdom are you in? I trust, my dear friends, that today you will make that decision to enter into the kingdom of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, whether we are born in the year of the tiger or not, as we said, we have some tiger in each one of us. We want to rule. We want to govern. We want to govern ourselves. We want to be our own boss. So long as you are your own boss and the Lord Jesus Christ is not ruling over you, not governing your heart, and so long as he doesn't have any place in your heart, my dear friends, you are heading for eternal damnation in hell. So today I will urge you on the first day of this Lunar New Year that you repent and come and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Change course. Be heading for heaven rather than be heading for hell. And then as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, let us this New Year resolve to every day reckon our old man in us, the sinful self in us, to be dead, crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ, so that every day we may be able to triumphantly say, Lord, not I, but Christ liveth in me. The roaring lion is not ruling in me, the tiger is not ruling in me, but the Lord Jesus Christ is. Our enemy number one, my dear friends, is the evil one, the devil. He is our adversary, and as a roaring lion, he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He is our formidable foe, but we can overcome him. We may be able to resist him. And how may we be able to resist him? Three things we must do. Number one, humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Number two, what must we do? Number two, we must cast all our cares upon him. And number three, we must be sober and be vigilant. We must be watchful. And this lion of the tribe of Judah is on the side of all believers. And therefore we need not fear, because he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. And he has made us to be kings and priests. Yes, one day we shall rule with him. As I asked earlier on, will you be here? Will you be in his kingdom when he comes? Or will you be going down with the evil one into the lake of fire, where you will be tormented day and night for all eternity? So I'd like to plead with you this morning, as we come to the conclusion of this worship service, that if you are outside of the kingdom of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ is not ruling over you, the tiger in you is ruling over you, governing over you, my dear friends, this morning come and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Repent from your sins. Trust in his precious blood. Ask him to come into your heart, and he will save you. Amen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful truth that we have our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in our heart. And he, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, is on our side. And we thank you that with him on our side, we can triumph over the evil one. And this morning, O Lord, as we come to the conclusion of this worship service, there could be some in our midst who do not know you as their Lord and Savior. And they are being governed by the tiger in them. And they are in the kingdom not of yours, but that of the roaring lion. Father, we pray that you will speak to them and cause them this morning to repent from their sins and come to trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We pray and ask all this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.